Welcome to Rethinking Trade with Lori Wallach. I'm Lori Wallach. Today we're going to do a special episode about President Biden's new China tariffs. On May 14th, the president announced that he was imposing tariffs 100% on electric vehicles from China, 50% on solar panels, and on a variety of other goods. And there's a little bit of confusion about what this is all about. So I wanted to explain a few things. Number one is just what the heck was that and where did that come from? So the president had a two-year review of what is called a Section 301 tariff action. Section 301 just refers to part of the Trade Act of 1974. And it's a statute that allows a U.S. president, after an investigation that proves that another country's trade actions activities are a burden to U.S. commerce, unjustifiable, or unreasonable, to take action to do something about, to put it into non-technical terms, is trade cheating. And this typically gets used when, for instance, a country is doing crazy subsidies on a product or producing way more of it that could possibly sell because they want to flood markets and monopolize a market. And the process requires a study. So the previous administration did a study. They proved a bunch of this stuff with respect to China. And people probably remember that starting in 2018, the Trump administration put up tariffs on China. So this is a statutorily required 4 years after you impose Section 301 tariffs. You have to do a review to see how it's been working out and if it ought to be changed, if the tariffs should go away, if they should be raised. So that process started 2 years ago, and on May 14th, they announced the end of that. And what they determined was that since the original tariffs, actually, those were helping, but number two, that there were problems, new problems. And one of the biggest ones was, and this gets to part two, why the heck is this focused on China? So point two is what they saw and what had been the basis of the original tariffs was that China, relative to almost any other country, has a particular set of industrial and trade practices that are truly unique and extraordinary in the whole world, that have an impact that is different than whatever trade misbehavior our country may undertake or any other country with respect to its impact in other countries. And that is, number one, very top-down, organized, centralized plans to simply dominate a sector. That starts with literally the government announcing, you know, entire miles and miles of villages will be razed to the ground and this land will be given free to create an electric vehicle manufacturing city. And then the government will put the money together to put together the factories. And then the government will do horrific things like forced labor in Western China, where there is a lot of silicone production, to have Uyghur people in slave labor camps make the silicon wafer and have that basically go free because it's forced labor into the EV city. And same thing, a solar city is another thing because high tariffs on solar, and the same forced labor, slave labor, silicon is flowing into there. And then they will pay for free, they will give free electricity and free transport. And of course, there are no independent unions in China, so there's a huge source of very cheap labor from poor or rural parts of China. And so the government will organize to put all these subsidies, and there's like a subsidy in the Inflation Reduction Act to get U.S. consumers to buy EVs. That's part of our climate agenda. But then there's subsidies and there's subsidies. That's $7,500 off of buying an EV as compared to putting bazillions of government funds into from scratch doing what market economies actually have to have private companies generally do. And then there are no taxes. Anyway, it ends up being impossible to compete any place in the world if you, you know, don't abuse human rights, labor rights, give all those subsidies. And then the thing that's happened since that was first discovered, the reason why they raised the tariffs, is they realized there was a huge push to flood the market and wipe out every other country's electric vehicle production. So that's called overcapacity. It's called targeted strategic overcapacity in technical terms. And it just boils down to a decision by the Chinese government to try and make a lot more electric vehicles than their market could possibly absorb or they could export on fair terms, with the goal of, the technical term is dumping, selling way below the cost of production all over the world and just totally wiping out, flattening, destroying the electric vehicle market. And so countries all over the world are taking this action. So in Europe right now, actually, they're a year ahead of us. They triggered a kind of study that we just announced the end of. They triggered one of those a year ago, and they're going to take action. Other countries are doing this because this is a really intentional plan by the Chinese government to have their electric vehicle production be the only one that's viable in the world. Point three, here is number three. We need reliable, diverse supply chains because we learned during COVID, if you only have one supply chain for something the whole world needs, and we're all going to need electric vehicles to fight climate chaos, well, then if something happens in a particular country, be it a pandemic hits in a particular place, be it, heaven forbid, a natural disaster, be it political instability, then suddenly the whole world is overly reliant on one source. So part of the Inflation Reduction Act, part of the whole Biden administration agenda has been to create redundant, repeated, diverse supplies of different goods, both by having more diverse imports, but also to be able to make some of this stuff here. And that in the long run is how we're going to have reliable, affordable solar panels, EVs in the long term for the mass transition we need to a planet surviving, solar sane kind of economy. So we can't have no country, even if we were the only country making it, bad idea. Any country being the sole supply is a bad idea. And particularly in the context of things like energy or transport, or for that matter, healthcare products, because that's another thing where the tariffs were put up. They basically picked sectors where it is essential to our health, our well-being, our fighting climate chaos, that we have redundant, reliable supply chains that aren't just through one country. So now China's strategy is to corner that market. And you know, if you look at the solar tariffs that were also part of that, that in a way is a lesson of why we ought to be thinking about this set of tariffs as a really smart strategic move. And that gets to number four. I think a lot of people don't know that the silicon solar cell was invented and actually demonstrated to work in the United States. And it was in 1956 at Bell Labs. And then the U.S. led solar innovation and actually manufacturing for decades. But this is another place where the Chinese government, very strategic and smart, said, this is going to be a thing of the future. We need to monopolize this. We're going to try and take that on. And so through the exact same kind of system of mass, deep, broad subsidies and overproduction, China was able to corner the market in solar panels and wiped out not just U.S. production, but production all through Europe, in other parts of Asia. Asian production only rebuilt after original tariffs on these subsidies came up in Europe and in the U.S., and some of the Chinese firms started investing in Vietnam and in Thailand and other countries, but they're Chinese firms. And with the solar example, we also saw what can happen as far as access to this equipment we need. When the Chinese government was annoyed by other things that the U.S. administration was doing, they just basically stopped prioritizing sales of solar panels to the U.S. And we no longer made them in any scale. There's still some capacity. That's part of why the president did the Inflation Reduction Act with the Democrats in Congress. The idea was, we need to build up supply chains of some of these we can't live without it products domestically. And then, of course, we're still going to be trading. Just as an aside, a recent trade examination of solar subsidies from those other countries where China started shifting production showed that four major importers were actually not cheating. One of them was like going out of its way to get silicon not made by the forced labor Uyghur workers so that it could be legally sold here. So the trade cheating tariffs on solar are going to hit companies that have bad conduct, but we'll have diverse sources of imports. Plus, we're starting to make a supply chain here, which is just all to say that if we look at our climate goals, if we look at our supply chain resilience goals with respect to making sure that Americans can have access to the things we need both to be safe and secure, but also to combat the climate crisis, this is a very strategic 1-2 punch, where they put the money into doing the thing Trump never did, which is they're actually investing in trying to subsidize U.S. consumers' demand to buy the things that will help us with the climate transition. So consumer tax credits for buying solar, consumer tax credits for buying EVs to make it more affordable. They're investing in trying to make sure that companies can get financing, et cetera, to build new plants. And in 2023, the United States had the highest level of construction for manufacturing facilities, building new factories in 30 years. Let me repeat that. Highest rate of building new manufacturing facilities in 30 years. A lot of that is for solar, EV cars, EV batteries, because of the Inflation Reduction Act. So that's the one punch. The two punch is to make sure that all of that effort and investment, all those new jobs, all those new plants, all those potentially new climate-friendly goods don't get totally blown out of the water, crushed and wiped out by these highly subsidized forced labor imports. And that's the tariffs. So you put up the tariffs to basically, the technical term is countervail. You counter the trade cheating effect of the subsidies and of the overproduction. And then you make sure your domestic market can be a fair place for products either you make or countries that aren't cheating make, because we're still going to have imports. So that is the context for how that will play out. And then the final thing that everyone's wondering about is, what does it mean for prices? And I just want everyone to remember that from 2018 to 2020, the previous administration ended up imposing 25% tariffs on $350 billion worth of stuff. So if there was a connection between imposing tariffs and inflation, ladies and gentlemen, we would have seen it. So from 2018 to 2020, as the tariff rate went way up on a large amount of trade, inflation was absolutely flat. And that tariff rate stayed consistent in 2021 when, unrelated to China tariffs, inflation went up. In fact, perversely, actually, the Biden administration cut some tariffs on some kinds of products unrelated to the Section 301 action, a different trade action. And so you can see the overall U.S. tariff rate goes down and inflation goes up. So we can do another session on why that is, why, in fact, the gap between tariffs and prices is often enormous. Hint, it has to do with market concentration and the ability of retailers to charge absurdly high prices that are much higher than the cost of the thing that they're selling. The cost is where the tariff would come in. The importer of a good pays the tariff, and it's their choice whether they pass it through. But when you got a lot of gap, a huge profit margin, you can just eat the tariff. But more on that later. The bottom line is, hopefully now it's a little clearer what those tariffs do, why they were done, and what they're likely to do for us. Thank you very much for joining a quick update, breaking news session of Rethinking Trade with Lori Wallach. We're going to be back with the next regular episode very soon.